So, fact or fiction? We're living in a world that's addicted to fiction these days, especially what we can see with the transgender movement. But transgenderism, this is the sign that I'm talking about. So you can go in any direction, it seems, or all at once. This is the flag of a new religious cult, probably one of the most dangerous, most intolerant groups on the planet right now. And so we need to discuss this in the Reformation Society. We're regularly trying to look at the facts of history. We've got a lot of fiction in the world today, and the world is being swamped by an absolute tsunami of fiction. We've got fake news, fake history, fake pandemics, fake elections, fake governments, fake prisons, fake reality, and now we've even got fake genders. And your culture includes a whole range of things, but at the heart of a culture should be the faith. Our belief should affect our behavior and be seen in our cultures. Culture should be your faith externalized. But what we're seeing in society right now is more like paganism. And when they talk about the dominant culture, you've probably heard the term now, we must eradicate heteronormatism. Heteronormatism. Which means they want to get rid of the idea that people should be male and female and marriage and families and things like that. So heteronormativity is what they're calling what we hold to, and that's got to go. They've got to eradicate it. In other words, it's not enough to have the deviant declared normal, then I want the normal declared deviant. It's not enough for you to tolerate homosexuality and perversion. You've got to celebrate it, and then you've got to conform to it. So this is an interesting statistic on which countries have the most amounts of LGBTQ and all that. And so apparently Germany's now got 7.4% of its population, Spain 6.9%, United Kingdom 6.5%, Netherlands 6.4%. Very sad, countries we've got so much connection with in Europe have very high percentages of perversion in them. France 5.4%, Poland 4.9%, Italy 4.8%, Hungary the least 1.5%. But Hungary is a very conservative country right now. Interesting, that's a country that used to be behind the Iron Curtain. But Hungary is one of the few sane countries in Europe right now that's saying no to Islamic immigrants, no to sanctions with Russia, no to the war in Hungary, no to a whole range of things, and no to the LGBTQ, etc. agenda. So here's another interesting map. Again, from their perspective, the worst countries in Europe to be LGBTQI and all that. But that would probably mean the countries that are best in terms of being family-friendly. But still, looking at here, they would say how laws and policies affect the lives of LGBTQ people. So they reckon gross violations of human rights are the worst in San Marino. So it's better to be in Azerbaijan by their standards, or Turkey, than to be in Monaco or San Marino or Poland or Belarus, because they've got probably more laws against perversion and things like that, or Russia for that matter. So this is according to Statistica. They believe these are countries, how much they are violating gross human rights when it comes to the LGBTQ cult. So continually on a daily basis, we've got to choose between facts and fiction. We had to do this during the COVID cults, the lockdown lunacy, the masquerade madness, the salvation by vaccination religion. And interesting, there's a new film that's just come out from New Zealand called Silenced. And you can look it up on the website, silenced.co.nz, NZ for New Zealand, Silenced. And it's a very good film showing how medical professionals and journalists were silenced, not just deplatformed, but threatened, taken off the ability to operate medicine legally and so on, because they opposed the mandatory vaccinations and the masquerade madness and all that during the lockdown lunacy in New Zealand. And so Prison Island is hit back with a nice expose. And so there are people all over the world now exposing, such as the Died Suddenly film, well worth seeing as well. Now, when you think of fiction, we often think of these sort of storybooks and myths and make-believe. But our society is far more saturated with fiction than that. It's not just children's stories. The adults are obsessed with fiction too. There's probably never been a time in the history of the world that people have been so addicted to fiction or consumed so much fiction in any given day or week. You can think back in the days of Elizabethan England, they would go to Shakespeare plays, which were plays based on history. And the people would be reading things that were normally based in history and reality. But we've gone into such make-believe, and I've got a real problem with the make-believe we've got today, and that includes the Marvel comics and these superhero things. Instead of taking real heroes in history or real heroes in the Bible, they want complete and utter fictional heroes. And amazing that people are often more consumed with a fictional character than are about their neighbors or family members. They will literally weep for creatures who don't even exist on the screen or in books. So we're living in a world of fiction right now. And of course, the fiction extends to the news media, it extends to the music industry, it extends to the history books and the schools as well. And there's all kinds of things they're throwing around, terms that you've never heard of before, like adultism and sexism, cisgender. If you wonder what cisgender is, that's us, people who are bound to our genders and so on. And ageism, how do you like that one? Ageism. There's no end of nonsense that we've been thrown dead with these days, all kinds of... I just love this one about white privilege. I'm a product of white privilege. We got caned at school, we got conscripted to the army, and then we got taxed to pay for the free things that people of other races got. But when I had to go to college, I was too male and too pale to get a bursary, so I had to work at the fire brigade to fund myself to go through college, whereas the coloured and black students, they got their education free, because even under apartheid in the 1980s, the whites were paying for everything and getting none of the benefits. We had personal responsibility to pay for your own medical and everything, but you had to pay taxes to give free things to others. So this white privilege, it's nonsense. The blacks have always been previously advantaged and presently advantaged, and now the whites are presently disadvantaged and used to be the previously disadvantaged too. And when we went to the army, we weren't even fighting to defend ourselves. We were fighting to defend black people from getting kidnapped by Ovambo tribes and getting kidnapped by Swapo and Sankola, and we were rescuing them, preventing landmines being planted in the roads that were endangering black people. We were risking our lives and getting abused by the NCOs specifically to be protecting black people. So now when they speak of white privilege, and you're the previously advantaged, well, I don't know what previous advantage we had, because the previous advantage we had was to get caned at school, conscripted into the army, struff PT, and all of the rest of it, and then to be taxed for other people's benefits, while still having to pay for our own education, and so on. So, there's a lot of nonsense out there. But people, today, are being indoctrinated through a lot of what's coming out of the social media, because there's a lot of propaganda out there. And the lies about what's going on in our culture and the manipulation of our culture is huge. So when you compare fiction with non-fiction, we've been given so much fake. Just think of the fake we were given over the whole coronavirus nonsense. No, it could not have been possibly manufactured in a laboratory. And you're guilty of fake news, and you'll be deplatformed if you dare to suggest it was manufactured in a laboratory in China. No, it's from some wet markets, it's from some bats. And well, now, the facts which they were telling us and damning us and condemning us and deplatforming us for, now we know our facts. Yes, it was manufactured in Chinese biological warfare laboratory, and yes, the American taxpayers did pay for it, and Fauci knew about it, and Fauci's CDC was paying for it. And so American taxpayers helped to produce this epidemic, which is meant to be one of the worst pandemics in the history of the world. Not that it was the most fatal, but certainly the most contagious. And our businesses, industries, clubs, churches were all closed down for a manufactured virus, which had been made 10,000 times more contagious than it would have been in nature by a CDC Center for Disease Control operation, which they couldn't do in America because it was totally illegal there. They had to offshore it and send it to China. So China didn't have any standards. So they could, just like America's biological warfare laboratories are all based now in Ukraine, because Ukraine's the most corrupt country in Europe and there's no real standards, you can do almost anything there, which is why most of the human trafficking, sex trafficking victims come from Ukraine, because Ukraine government doesn't protect their people. And you can buy people there so easily, and certainly buy governments there. So human trafficking is easy. And again, you can see what we were being deplatformed for and lied about and threatened about is now coming mainstream. And yes, no, now we know that that's true. And now it's even coming out. The vaccines that you were told were safe and effective, they were neither safe nor effective. And they hadn't even tested them. They didn't have time to test them. Well, we knew they didn't have time to test them. But now even the head of Pfizer's had to test them before Parliament in the Netherlands. No, we never tested them. We didn't know beforehand whether they would be effective or whether they could be transmissible and so on. And so all of that upheaval, all of that massive cost, destruction of billions of dollars worth of damage to economies all over the world, and for what? Lies, lies, and more lies. So such fiction, how can you even trust your medical professional again? How can we ever trust the politicians, if we ever did trust them? How can we trust our local doctor ever again, even? Considering that most of them went along with the biggest lie and biggest disruption in history. So we're now living in a society that's obsessed with fiction. It's celebrities who, let's face it, are actors, get so excited about these fake people who pretend to be someone else, and entertainment's obsession. In the history of the world, people have never spent so much time on entertainment and so much obsession with fiction ever. And so that's very disturbing. But it's no longer fiction in entertainment, it's fiction in your news media, and it's fiction in, to be honest, in many churches as well, what they preach in the pulpit. Just think of the health and wealth, name it and claim it and frame it, gab it and grab it, prosperity cult. Lots of fiction, speak into existence, you are little gods and things like that. I mean, you can control the weather. There's no end of nonsense that you can hear from the Kenneth Copeland and Kenneth Pagan, Bennison and others. You've got no end of lies and fiction in the history books in schools. They've lied about just about everything. Today's the 13th of April. And the 13th of April is remembered in Poland as a date when the Katyn Forest Massacre was uncovered and made known to the world in 1943, although it happened in 1940, but it was only uncovered in 1943. Till very recently, Katyn Forest Massacre was attributed to the Germans, even though everyone in Poland knew the Russians did it, the Soviet atrocity during the Second World War, but it was very convenient to blame the enemy and to try and move the blame away from the ally, the Soviet Union. And so that line, that was in our history textbooks. And they kept this, that lie up for decades and decades. There's so many lies that have been covered up, from Operation Keel Hall, the sinking of Lusitania, Churchill's involvement. These files were sealed for 60, 70 years and so on. So we're living in a society where even our history is fiction. Marxism is the dominant culture theory right now. So you've got the producers, the bourgeois, and you've got the proletariat, the consumers. But just look how our pop culture is created by the mass media, popular culture. The consumerism is capitalism and celebrity culture. You've got to eat this, wear this, and drink that because your favorite celebrity does it. And just think how much money they make out of consumer culture. We're going to look at the connection of the transgender culture in a moment. We are being deluged with such fiction, and remember, a lot of this garbage from Hollywood is produced by Sabbatean Antichrist, Illuminati, Satanists like Harvey Weinstein, who's some predator, pedophile, criminal, and he made so many of the films that are popular in our study, a Harvey Weinstein production, you'll see in front of so many of these things. And these are people who hate God, and you can be sure they inject that into the films that have now made its way into mainstream culture. So we've got a lot of historical fiction. Lots of historical fiction. In fact, there's a lot of things people believe about history which are fake, such as the Dark Ages. The Dark Ages were not dark. During the Dark Ages, Europe was converted to Christ. The great cathedrals were built, the biggest libraries were built, stained glass windows were used. What's dark about stained glass windows in cathedrals, universities, and so much Christian culture in the Middle Ages? But the Illuminati, where does the Illuminati come from? And the light bearers, think of Lucifer. In the Enlightenment, they started to speak about the Dark Ages. They called the Christian Middle Ages the Dark Ages. Voltaire popularized this. And it's in mainstream terminology. Christians talk about the Dark Ages. That's Antichrist French Revolutionary talk to try and denigrate the Christian Middle Ages when Europe was converted. To speak about the ages that produced the greatest architectural masterpieces in history, the great cathedrals and the stained glass windows and the universities like Oxford and Cambridge and the most magnificent libraries, to call that the Dark Ages is insane. You could rather talk about the 20th century as being a dark age. How many people have been murdered in the 20th century by governments, by abortion? How much perversion and blasphemy and evil has flooded the world in the 20th century? The 20th century has been a lot darker than the Middle Ages. So there's a lot of historical fiction. And fiction on the Second World War is even more incredible. The Second World War is the love affair of Hollywood, and they've even come up with garbage like the generation who went to the Second World War, the greatest generation. The greatest generation? Not the foretrekkers, not the pilgrims, not the pioneers, not the people who went through far worse things in the past, not the great missionaries and explorers of the past. The greatest generation is the generation that saved the Soviet Union, that bombed the great cities of Europe, the incinerated cities like Dresden. The greatest generation is the generation that allowed the Bible to be taken out of schools, Ten Commandments and prayer to be outlawed from schools, and abortion to be legalized, pornography to be legalized, gambling to be legalized, Sabbath desecration to be legalized. They're the greatest generation. Where did this term, the greatest generation, come from? An atheist Hollywood film director came up to this term. The greatest generation. What a lie. But there's no end of lies about Second World War and other things, because that's out of which the United Nations and the Soviet Union grew. We've got all kinds of fatal obsessions, but just think of the amount of, you don't just have fiction now, you have historical fiction. And historical fiction is worse than just fiction, because it twists. The names are true, the places are true, but the facts have been changed to protect the guilty and to demonize the innocent. Victimize the villains and villainize the victims. So what is transgenderism? Does anyone know what FTM means and MTF means? FTM means female to male, MTF means male to female. So those are two main ways. Interesting, we meant to have 26, 70-something genders, but basically still female to male, male to female. I mean, I don't know how many other options are. And these are different terms. Transgender covers the butch, the femme, the gender bender, the gender blender, the gender outlaw, the androgynous, the drag queen or drag king, the cross-dresser, the third gender. I don't know what the third gender is, by the way. Does anyone else know what third gender is? The bi-gendered, the genderqueer, the trans woman, the trans man, the pre-post and non-op. You get non-op transgender as well. The transsexual, so, and the intersex, whatever that means. So this general category of transgender covers a multitude of sins. They're trying to promote the whole concept of transgenderism, and this is basically, I think, the future they want. God created a world, male and female, and he called it good, and they're trying to create a new age of transgenderism, refuting traditional gender roles and basically trying to implode the biblical concept of family, which is the basic building block of society. The evil right now is heteronormativity. So they're trying to eliminate the heteronormative. And the heteronormative is basically you and I. Those who believe that males should be men and females should be women, and marriage can only be between a man and a woman, and the man should provide and protect and guide, and the woman should give life and raise the next generation, which has got to be the greatest privilege of all, and be the caregivers and the ones who traditionally are the ones who care for people when they're sick and who show love and care, and the men are the ones who are meant to kill the bad guys and things like that. So, and do the physical hard lifting work. And then one of the first things Nelson Mandela achieved was women can work in the mines. And I'm sure all the women in South Africa were just dying for the opportunity to go a kilometer down to the earth and work in the mines. That kind of thing, that yay, every woman's dream. You can now be in mixed martial arts and you can be a bricklayer, and how much more meaningful has that got to be than being a mother? And heteronormativity is evil. And notice female homophobia is evil as well. They don't want to be marginalized. The normal must be declared deviant. The deviant must be declared normal, and normal must be declared deviant. So heteronormativity, which you probably have never heard the word before, is evil. And you've got to declare that to be deviant now. And so they're even offended and triggered by these sort of signs, that when you've got the traditional male and female signs, you might see some place where they're trying to change it to get rid of, to get away from that stereotyping, which they say is heteronormativity. You know, the idea that women wear dresses and men don't, and things like that. Love is love. Together we can end heteronormativity. And this apparently is a goal that we should be aiming at. We don't know whether you're Arthur or Martha. Now, there's some who are writing about this transgender activism and transfeminism. Now, I thought feminism was basically to speak up for women's rights, but they're going beyond that. In fact, that's why I think many true feminists are hostile to the transgender movement. So, how transgenderism undermines feminism, actually. Apparently, nobody can be a woman as well as a man can be. Because now all the women's prizes and women's sports and History Month and so on has been given to men and dresses with makeup. So apparently men can be better women than women can, according to these imbeciles running the White House and so on. Biden's giving all the awards for greatest this and the other for women, now to men. So here's the gender 101. A gender binary is the categorization of gender into two distinct opposite sexes, male and female. So we are all what they call gender binary, that we believe that God created the world male and female and created it. But then you get trans and transgender. The umbrella term applied to those whose gender identity is not the same as the sex they were assigned at birth. Assigned at birth. How do you like that? So, you know, somebody imposed it on you. It's a boy, it's a girl. So it's a doctor's and a nurse's fault, especially the maternity nurse. The one who said it's a boy or it's a girl, they're the ones to blame because they assigned the gender to you before you had a chance to choose your own gender. And then the cisgender, someone who is not transgender. So we are all what they call cisgender. If you hear that term, then I don't know if it's like cis, as in cis man, or where it comes from. But. And then you get gender queer. Individuals who do not identify with the gender binary, and transition, the process of changing one's gender expression to match one's gender identity. So your gender expression and your gender identity. So that means you've got to now have some kind of surgery, you need some hormone blockers, you need all kinds of drugs, and then you need, of course, makeup and that sort of thing, and that's going to express your real gender. So when they speak of, I've got to be me and I've got to be true to myself, and some of you need surgery to be true to yourself. Isn't that amazing? And you need lots of drugs and big pharma. So the trans woman is a male to female, MTF. And a trans man is a FTM. And so they reckon, what do you need? Hordes of hormone treatment. I can't even pronounce, let alone spell, most of these drugs you're going to shove into a person's body. Do you really want to inject these sort of things into your body? And then there's all kinds of other things that they need. And all kinds of surgery. I mean, is surgery and big pharma poisons really the way to go? To be yourself. To be true to yourself. So, this is the heteronormativity where men, the stereotype of men are, men have no emotions, they speak up for themselves, they yell at people, they can take it, they don't make mistakes, they don't cry, they take charge, they push people around, and they don't back down and take care of people. We do have feelings, amazingly. We can be confused and angry and scared and ashamed and alone and stupid. Men can especially be stupid. That's how just about every advert and film stereotypes men as stupid. Even the dog knows more than the man. You take a family-friendly film like Beethoven, even the St. Bernard dog's got more business sense than the father who ran the company. He can tell what's going on. But the father's so stupid, even though he means well, because it's a family-friendly film, so he's a well-meaning idiot. The kids and the dog just know better. And that's the stereotype. Just about any time you have a male in almost any major, whether it's an advert or show these days, he's generally quite stupid. And now they go to the powerless, vulnerable, seeking revenge, hopeless, and worthless. Especially worthless. Just think when UCT launched the Men Are Trash program back in 2015. But men are meant to be the breadwinners and violence, mean, bullies, tough, angry, active, strong, successful, in control over women. Of course, men have apparently been over women for a long time. I always thought the ideal of men was to be a knight in shining armor, rescuing fair damsels in distress from dragons and things like that. But apparently, that makes us violent and mean and horrible. The fact that you want to protect and serve and provide and guide and so on is now seen as toxic masculinity. But I think it's been well pointed out that toxic males built civilization and created the freest, most productive societies the world's ever seen. Toxic males ended slavery and ended the slave trade. Toxic males built the cathedrals. Toxic males wrote some of the greatest literature, produced some of the greatest art in history. Toxic males beat the bad guys, rescued civilizations. So to demonize all males is, of course, insane, but these people are insane. So their gender identity and gender expression. Now, there's masculinity, there's femininity, and then there's only this sort of neutral thing. So they're talking about our different gender identity and our gender expressions. And so we've got to move beyond what our gender identity is into expressing the new man. This is pretty much like communism. There's no God, and therefore we can make ourselves what we want to be. The communists believed they could make a perfect society and they could create a new socialist man. They totally failed, of course, because without God they can't really do much, and they violated all the laws of nature that God had set up in creation. But the transgender cult is really a cult. It's a new religion because they are not happy the way God has made them. And they're convinced they can make themselves better than God. They know better than God. God might have assigned you to be a male or female at birth, but we know better, and we can make ourselves better than God made us, and we can make a better future for ourselves than God could make for us. That's why they hate Christianity and they hate Christians so much. You can see the transgender people are extremely angry. They're angry at the way the world is, they're angry at the way they are, they're angry they can't make themselves perfect the way they want to be, and they're angry at anyone who suggests that they're not doing the right thing or that there's a better alternative. This is kind of nice. You can see news that history has made when the first ever all-gay US Navy helicopter crew. I'm sure that makes everyone feel better. So over here is a cartoon of some people in Afghanistan getting bombs dropped at them by the US Navy drones. And they said the next one will be sent by a woman. And the woman says, really makes you feel like you're part of history. Like, isn't it wonderful? We've been bombed this time by gay crew and by woman pilots, and you know, it makes you feel so much better when you're being bombed by a gay or a female LGBTQ crew of American liberators who liberating you with a new drone strike. Now, they're talking about the woke vote. You need to get the people woke and they'll get out and work. But the new slogan is get woke and go broke. I think Disney's discovering that. And Nike has just gotten woke and they're going to go broke. Nike is making staff cuts. They've reported a $790 million quarterly loss. Quarterly is just 3 months of the year. What they expect, this is what happens when you support an organization that loots, destroys your business instead of supporting those who actually pay for your product. Go woke, go broke. Nike decide to support the BLM crowd and what they expect. Nike, believe in something even if it means sacrificing everything. So BLM looters meant to turn all Nike shoes into 100% off at these locations that they're able to loot. So, you know, this is affirmative shopping during the BLM riots. Remember when you had to be locked down and wear masks, unless you were looting and rioting, of course, and that was okay. But if you were out demonstrating against masks, the police would attack you. If you were looting the shops and burning place down, that's okay, the police would leave you alone. So, a new slogan for Nike, don't do it. Transgenderism is a male battle to erase women. In fact, it is like that, isn't it? A lot of transgenderism seems to be actually anti-female. And just consider gendercide. I don't know if you've heard the term gendercide, but around the globe, abortion is shrinking the female population at an alarming rate. There are well over 100 million baby girls missing in the world, sacrificed by parents who desire the son. Sex selection abortions, especially in India, where they do an amniocentesis test and so on, and China. A lot of Asians, where they only allowed to have one child, if they're having a girl, they abort the girl so they can have a boy. May not abort them, they may strangle them or smother them at birth or drown them in a bucket of water. That's more common in China. And it's called gendercide or femicide, where they target female babies and kill them because they don't prize girls as much. So this is a lot of what pro-choice stands for. There's no choice at all. Pro-choice is a lie. Babies don't choose to die. And so gendercide is something we've been referring to for a long time, where there's whole societies like China and India where there's vastly more males than females because of sex selection abortions. It's a child, not a choice. A person is a person no matter how small. But sports is where we're seeing this working out the most. When you're talking about fiction today, sports is where you're seeing the worst fiction around. Can you spot the transgender in this particular
the guy
in
the mind.
The one who's head and shoulders above everyone else? Yeah? Now, you misgendering. You called him a guy.
Oops.
Yeah. Okay. Now, anyone here who thinks that the woman is a bigoted sexist. So, you know, bear in mind, you know, who are you to determine someone else's gender? This person self-identifies as a female. And in basketball, you can imagine how wonderful it is to have some male who's head and shoulders over everyone else to play basketball. And then, of course, South Africa started the rot in some ways with Casper. Casper or Caster?
Caster.
Caster. Yeah, as Julius Malema put it so well, he's a woman. Yeah. And, well, this started before transgenderism was a thing, so it was leading the way with Caster, who I think has got some genuine issues, a bit of a biological anomaly. But nevertheless, the other people participating didn't have the same benefits. You know, because men do have greater amounts of muscle and strength and stamina, and it's just not fair. That's why women's sports were created, to have a fair chance. Because it just like if you're doing boxing, you can't put a heavyweight against a lightweight or middleweight. It just is not even fair. You cannot do that. And weight makes a huge difference in boxing or in any kind of contact sport competition. And it's a little pointless giving the trophy to the man who just have to be taller, longer legs, more muscle, and all that. And then there's case of, you know, this kind of male, biological male, as they call it now, identifying as female, beating up the woman, and literally injuring them during the sports. It's just not fair. And in mixed martial arts, we saw some poor woman slammed and obliterated, I think, broke some bones in this poor woman's face. And that's congratulations for ruining female sports. This is where it's ended up. When all the women's athletic records are held by biological males, maybe then feminists will wake up. And in fact, many feminists are waking up because this is going too far. It's gone far too far. keep men out of women's sports. Many of you probably know who Riley Baines. Riley Baines, she's a major American championship swimmer, regularly won records, but 12-time All-American swimmer, 5 SEC titles, successful female swimmer at University of Kentucky. She had ambitions to pursue a dental degree, but a postgraduate ambition and her entire life was changed when she was forced to share a locker room and then compete against a biological male, who now was calling himself Leah Thomas, at the 2022 NCAA Women's Swimming Championship. It was an uneven championship, not just for her, but for every woman competing in that day. And it was pretty traumatic when the NCAA officials insisted on giving Leah Thomas the trophy, despite Leah only tying with Riley down to the 100th of a second in the event. So imagine that they gave the trophy to the male, even though he had only tied with Riley. Why on earth would they give that? When do you ever have something like that? But transgender are a privileged community, and they have got to be given whatever trophy positions are. And so from this point, Riley managed to make a stand, Our Bodies, Our Sports, and she's got a website, Riley Gaines, and her title is Swimming Against the Current, which is a good term for swimmer. We've got to swim against the current. Well, recently, Riley Gaines was assaulted, and she was rushed, mobbed, and attacked, and forced to be barricaded into a room for 3 hours with her demanding money from her before they'd release her. And you sort of wonder, where were the police and why were they not protecting her? And when she is interviewed, and you can ask, you can see the Tuck Carlson's interviewing her, she said, the police were afraid, and she could see the police were afraid. The police were afraid to use any force against the mob attacking them, because the mob were trans people attacking. And they knew that if they used any appropriate measures that would have used against any other criminals, they would have had their careers probably destroyed and themselves in jail. So the police were too afraid to protect her the way they should have, or arrest the people. And that's the kind of situation we're in. The police still haven't arrested anyone, even though it's all videoed. And you can actually see some of the video footage of these online people getting injured, attacked. It was an absolute mob. And just about the whole video is full of bleeps because they're blocking out all the swearing. Because people are just cursing her, attacking her physically and verbally, assaulting her for speaking at the university campus. Now, what was the message? That women's sports should be for women. And they were just so incensed by that. It's no exaggeration to speak about this being female gendercide, because the whole transgender movement is aiming to neuter humanity, to prevent women being women, to prevent men being men. And so it is gendercide. And to move to a position where we've got whichever is actually pretty pathetic. And apparently they're doing this sort of thing up at university campuses right now. Now, this sounds like a Monty Python script or something off the wall. Can you believe a male sex offending rapist who self-identifies as a woman being put into a woman's prison in Scotland, where he immediately started sexually assaulting women? So this is Stephen Wood, who transitioned to Karen White. And because he then said that he's a woman, the British criminal justice system decided to put him into a woman's prison. What could possibly go wrong? And so he immediately started sexually assaulting women in the prison. And that led to re-evaluating the transgender policy that led to male sex offenders being put into women's prisons. The Times reported 12 trans prisoners convicted of violence or sexual crimes have been accommodated in Scottish women's prisons within the last 18 months. I mean, they must have thought they were in paradise. This is not exactly a punishment for these crimes. To put a sex offender into a woman's only prison, can you imagine? They must have been delighted. The London-based newspaper obtained the official figures through a request made under Freedom of Information laws. So, can you believe it? There's transgenderism is child abuse. they're promoting transgenderism in public schools. I don't know if they're doing it in South African schools yet, but I wouldn't be surprised if they get to it sometime. But they are doing it in American and European schools right now, and certainly in Australian and New Zealand schools. Example, the gender unicorn. Gender identity, fail, a female, woman, girl, male, man, boy, other genders. I don't know if they can specify which ones those might be. Gender expression, feminine, masculine, other. Sex assigned at birth, female, male, other. I haven't been involved in maternity. Do you know the other category? Do they have an other category?
That's the anomaly. The anomaly is if someone is born like the two genitals, it's not normal. It's supposed to be an exception.
Okay, but do they? Does it happen that often that they've actually got three options? I thought there's only two.
They use it as an excuse.
Really, I just love Amazon sells a T-shirt. There are more than two genders, but you can only order the male or the female T-shirt. Check one. Physically attracted to men, women, or other genders. What other genders are there? Emotionally attracted to men, women, other genders. So you can be physically or emotionally attracted. This is to be taught to children. See? The gender unicorn. And then you've heard of the gingerbread man. Well, here's the gingerbread man.
Gingerbread person.
Gingerbread person, sorry. I've just committed another thought crime. Misgendering. So you have your identity in your brain, you have your attraction in your heart, and then you have your expression all over, and then the sex. And you can have a gender identity, womanness or manness, gender expression, biological sex, sexually attracted to, romantically attached to. And this is to be taught to children in schools. This they've designed for school use. And to get kids at schools being, in some cases, badgered by the teachers to change their sex and become trans. That is child abuse. Big Pharma is exploiting children, there's no doubt about it. Have you heard the term gender-affirming care? Now, when you hear the word care, you start to think of something nice, like, you know, tender loving care. TLC, apparently nurses should sometimes put on some patients' charts. TLC is recommended, meaning tender loving care. But you know, these days they speak about chemotherapy, radiotherapy. I mean, what's therapy about being poisoned, burned, or mutilated? So I don't think there's anything particularly therapy about it. So the word therapy has been abused now too. You might as well speak about waterboarding therapy for torture interrogation. Yeah, I'm sure the patient thinks this is very therapeutic. But what did you think by gender-affirming care, which sounds so positive? What they're actually talking about are... they're talking about removing or reconstructing chest, breast, augmentation, removal, hysterectomies, and so on, facial feminization, phalloplasty, and all kinds of weird terms. Basically, what's gender-affirming care? Poisoning the kids with all kinds of hormones and hormone blockers and things that are going to change them, and surgery, which is mutilation. So you wouldn't think you'd have to say genital mutilation of children is bad. They've even had to have rallies to end child mutilation and write books on irreversible damage, teenage girls and transgender craze. It is a craze, that's a good term. Craze is the word. It is crazy. But the amount of people who go to medical people for counsel, you think you can trust your doctor. But some doctors are advising, no, you've got to let your child go on these hormone blockers, and you've got to puberty blockers, and you've got to organize for the surgery to mutilate them. And now, whatever happened to freedom of conscience? Using the wrong gender pronoun could get you imprisoned in California. You can get into serious trouble in New Zealand and Australia too, for using the wrong gender pronoun. Right now, after the terrorists shot up the Christian school in Tennessee, you had all these media outlets apologizing profusely the next week that they misgendered the person. The terrorist who killed three kids and three teachers identified as a male, but all the media reported this woman, Audrey Hale, and she self-identified as a male, so how dare they call her a woman? So be concerned about what a mass-murdering terrorist identified as. is something that they had to apologize for, because they had offended the trans community by calling this female, biological female, a male. I mean, sorry, calling this person who identified as a male a female. Now, these people are thought criminals. There are only two genders. Get out of our restrooms, and transgenderism is a mental disorder. This is now a thought crime. The rally to end child mutilation. Can you imagine? First they denied it, now they're trying to defend it, but we won't allow it. And this is what gender-affirming care has come down to. Now, when it says keep pace out of healthcare, what do you think you're talking about? They're talking about people who want to protect children from mutilation or guilty of hate. Apparently, the people wanting to mutilate the child and do something that should be a crime, that they are the ones who are apparently showing love. In fact, the word is gender-affirming care. So this kid is too young to choose what time he goes to bed, but he's old enough to choose what gender he's going to be. What can he say about these Hollywood stars, the Brad Pitts and Angela Jolies of this world, who inform you that their child is transgendered? A kid that age doesn't make that decision. That's something that adults have pushed on them. I mean, those parents are guilty of child abuse. Anyone recognize who this is? Kelly Jane Keene. She's an English women's rights activist. She's the one who has got deplatformed from everything. You go and check what it says on her Wikipedia page, and it's, you know, she's transphobic, which really, because she is for women's sports being for women. Can you imagine such a radical? When they were saying they didn't know what a woman is, she went to Oxford Dictionary and she made banners, posters, stickers, and t-shirts, woman, noun, adult human female. And for this was banned. She has deplatformed. She has taken off everything from Twitter to Facebook. She had everything taken down. When she put up the billboards with this woman, noun, adult human female, this was termed hate speech. The billboards were cancelled. The people she had paid for putting up the billboard cancelled it. And the t-shirt company issued profuse apologies for having printed a t-shirt saying they didn't understand the implications of what they were printing. So to print the Oxford Dictionary definition in England on a t-shirt or billboard is a hate crime. She's apparently hurt some people's feelings. So she walks around with posters like this, and adult human female is a hate crime. She was assaulted recently in New Zealand, and the New Zealand police took an extraordinary amount of time to come there, even though there was a lot of threats to her life before she even arrived. And the trans mob, who was screaming vile abuse, really violent bunch, they were screaming and going berserk, and saying there's no room in New Zealand for hate and intolerance. But the only people exhibiting hate and intolerance are them. When I show you the video just now, you'll hear the noise, and they just have sirens and whistles going to drown out, so there's no chance. And what was she gathering under? Their slogan was, let women speak. And the trans people, a bunch of males in dresses wearing makeup, attacked them, beat them up, and made such a racket so that they weren't able to let women speak. So this is where it's come to. Denying transgenderism is under investigation as a hate crime at a Catholic college. That's how apostate they've become. Criticism is now hate speech. If you criticize or even question it, you can be guilty of a hate crime in the minds of many of these folks. So when they use the word hate, they might be screaming and swearing in your face and physically assaulting you, but you're the one who's guilty of hate, because you've dared to question their religion. And you're guilty of blasphemy, and not just blasphemy, it's heresy, it's everything bad, to be able to question their religion. This is religious fanaticism on the highest order. And they've got their KGB and their pink inquisition to go after you. Biblically, it's quite straightforward. God created a male and female. Stop the ravages of transgender ideology. It is an ideology. It's not only an ideology, it's an institution. It's not just an institution, it's an industry now. What does the scripture say about gender? How do you like Isaiah 59 verse 9? What sorrow awaits those who argue with their creator? Does the clay pot argue with its maker? Does the clay dispute with one who shapes it, saying, stop, you're doing it wrong? But that's what the transgender people are doing. I shouldn't have been made a male or a female or whatever. You know, I want to choose. God got it wrong. but there are only two genders. So where do the religious groups stand on transgender inclusion? The Episcopal Church, Reformed Judaism, Unitarian Universalization, United Church of Christ, all apostate, all totally accepted the transgender things. Inclusion, but no official statement yet. The Evangelical Lutheran Church of America, the Presbyterian Church of America, the United Methodist Church. I'd be interested to see where the South African churches stand. But I'd guess that our Southern Council churches, World Council Church affiliates, all apostate, become Baal worship, Asherah, a worshiping bunch. The mixed position, no official position, the African Methodist Episcopal Church, they're a bunch of apostates anyway. Church of God, Cleveland, Presbyterian Church of America, Roman Catholic Church, no official position. Those have made barriers to inclusion, in other words, they're trying to be biblical, Assemblies of God, Mormons, Lutherans, Southern Baptists. So that's roughly where it's going. Be worthwhile to see where churches, where they stand. What's behind the transgender movement? Well, Joe Biden sniffing your hair probably. The moment you regret the transition surgery. I mean, Biden is actually a creep. He's a dirty old man. The moment he can't stop sniffing people's hair and putting his hands around little girls and little boys too. An actual creep. I don't know how a pervert like that ever got into the White House. And Biden has the most pro-transgender policy of history, and he appointed Undersecretary for Health, some transgender male, who for some reason walked around in an admiral suit for a while, and who, when being questioned by Ted Cruz in the Senate, in the confirmation hearings, where she stood on gender mutilation of kids, would not state a position. But we know she supports gender mutilation and under the guise of health. This male, masquerading as a woman in health, is promoting and funding the mutilation of kids. Now, Biden's new trans orders basically dealt a knockout blow to women's sports. It isn't fair having males operating in female sports, which includes things like weightlifting. And transgenderism is part of the ongoing effort by the left to separate America from God and from tradition. Yeah, and even worse than it, I'd say the whole goal is to destroy families, to destroy the whole civilization. Transgenderism is not gender identity, it's politics. It's sheer and simple, it's politics. And there's some books that have come out on this, like The Transgender Industrial Complex. In this book, Nebraskan author Scott Howard exposes the actors financing the institutionalization of transgenderism. Behind the medical research into gender transitioning of children, ubiquitous pride parades, and drag queen story hours is a lot of money. Sex education, the homosexual feminist precursor projects, and the global propaganda all pushed and paid for by very wealthy, well-connected men with motive and will. Scott Howard in his book demonstrates that the transgender phenomenon is far from a grassroots movement, which its advocates would have the public believe. There's another book out here, Body Politics, Transgender Body Politics, by Heather Brunskill Evans. Many people think of the transgender or gender identity movements about accommodating people with a debilitating condition. But they're actually an industry that creates medical identities out of sex while simultaneously mounting active campaigns to deconstruct sexual dimorphism, whatever that is, with the law. Transgenderism is a multi-billion dollar industry, disguised as civil rights movement. It's big business dressed up in civil rights clothes. Billionaires and big pharma are bankrolling the transgender industrial complex. Sex identity aesthetics. So, interesting, plastic surgery started in the First World War because men who had been shot up by shrapnel and bullets had horrible facial disfigurements. Plastic surgery was created to help men to have normal lives to some degree after having their bodies shattered by bullets and shrapnel. And so this is the beginning of the plastic surgery movement back in 1915, 1916 on. Then it morphed into cosmetic surgery to make the rich able to have nose jobs and what have you. I know, Botox, whatever, anyone want that. And some people had some serious changes made, including to the teeth, to make them whiter than white and unrealistically perfect features. And you probably recognize some of these characters, what they did with plastic surgery. And I don't know that these plastic surgeries are always improvements, but still. Now it's moved into transitioning people from male to female, before and after. Now, I don't know, but that's a fake. I don't know what man would be thrilled to know that the girl who he thought was looking so attractive turns out to actually be a male. I mean, who's going to be excited with that? That's actually false advertising. And there's a whole lot of people who've gone through this. But to think that plastic surgery, plastic surgeons used to be reconstructing people's lives that had been shattered by war, and then went on to being something for the frivolous and rich to do to improve their features. Now, something completely unnecessary to change a person's sexual identity. And why would you want to do this? And it is child abuse. But every child sex change or transition means another $1.3 million in Big Pharma's pockets. So this is big business. They've created, just like, I think it's wonderful in South Africa that our schools have no makeup allowed for girls at schools, and which is bad for their skin anyway, and they don't need it, and that they wear uniforms. But in America, it's not just the high school kids that must wear makeup every single day, or they can't go to high school. Now the poor girls in primary school must wear makeup or they can't go out the front door. It's just a socially pushed thing which has created millions more customers and how much more input for the pharmaceutical and cosmetic companies. So just think, telling a whole bunch of people you've got to change your sex, you're making some people very, very rich in Big Pharma. Billionaires in Big Pharma are bankrolling the transgender industrial complex. You've heard of the military industrial complex. Well, that's nothing now. As the pharmaceutical industrial complex is making more money than arms manufacturers used to make. And now the transgender industrial complex is making a fortune more. And it's basically about synthetic identity. It's a fraud. The facts are, do you know where the first transgender movement started? The Weimar Republic in Germany. Weimar Republic after the First World War, as Germany went into the worst economic crash imaginable, and billions of marks couldn't buy a loaf of bread. People would take wheelbarrows of money to the shops and it was worth nothing. And kids could play with piles of banknotes, millions and millions of marks, sort of like the $100 trillion notes I've got from Zimbabwe here. And under the Jewish Weimar Republic, you had vast amounts of brothels, 800 sexually oriented businesses in Berlin. And the first sex change in history was done in Berlin. A Jewish doctor who botched it, and actually his Jewish transgender patient died on the operating table. But that's the first transgender sex change operation in history, done in Berlin in the 1920s under the Weimar Republic. And it was a time of cabarets and sexual debauchery. Berlin became one big brothel, and you can understand why there was this backlash with the National Socialists to get rid of this debauchery. And the persecution of the Jews was mostly because the Jews were the ones running the pornography, the brothels, and the abuse, and therefore they were the ones kicked out. And the cabarets, the first people to flee had to be the Jews, because they ran the prostitution dens, they ran the brothels, they ran the pornography. And they were the ones who were generally in the Communist Party as well. So this created the backlash in Berlin because of what debauchery was being done under them. Well, who's funding a lot of this today? You should have heard of the Open Society Foundations, funded by George Soros. He spent $3 million just between 2011 and 2013 on trans issues to promote the transgender movement, which made it the top funder of the Open Societies, Open Society Foundations, followed by Straker's Arcus Foundation, and then Pritz's Tawani Foundation. And to illustrate the difference that money can make, Briggs asked us to consider commemoration of the victims of violence. OSF gave $500,000 to Transgender Europe in 2 years. Transgender Europe also received $1 million from the Arcus Foundation between 2010 and 2017. The organization's projects include Transgender Day of Remembrance, underpinned by a comprehensive database of victims throughout the world. Trans murder monitoring. This database counts 325 victims of violence from October 2016 to September 2017. Trans respect rather than transphobia worldwide was the name. The great majority of these occurred in Central and South America. There were only 3 trans murders in all of Europe, thankfully none in the United Kingdom. So this is from the book, The Transgender Industrial Complex. And they've got lots of money and they've got lots of grants and they are manipulating what's going on in the news. And so this transgenderism is not a grassroots movement, it's something that's being funded and pushed from the top. And George Soros has his octopus tentacles all over the place, not just open society activists, but Antifa writers, BLM, the American Democrats, the World Economic Forum, the World Health Organization, the Center for Disease Control, Justin Trudeau, Ukraine governments in his pocket, entertainment industry, the color revolution, child trafficking, the EU, the manufactured voting machines, which so distorted the results. He was behind it, the election fraud, the education systems, universities, colleges, corrupt district attorneys such as Bagg, who right now is trying to indict the frontrunner for the Republicans in New York. So George Soros, who's a very shadowy and very unsavory character, has had his funds and fingers all over the place. And I've heard that George Soros not only helped fund the EFF in South Africa, but even the DA. I think he likes to be on different sides. And there's a whole lot of things that he is funding in South Africa that have influenced our lives, including the farm invasions, expropriation and compensation campaign. This is apparently America's first non-binary who reclaimed his gender. So this is somebody who has said now transgenderism is a fraud and gender identity is legal fiction. Somebody who actually transgendered to a female and now has gone back to being a male and has got his ID card changed, and he says it's a fraud and it's legal fiction, or as others have described, synthetic identity. Now here's somebody who regretted his transition. 1977 he's a man, 1984 he's a woman, now he's back to being a man. And Hembree says, some kids end up resolving this dystopia while others transition to another gender. With the onset of puberty, things worsen though. And so you can actually see him on video explaining why he believes it was such a total mistake and fraud. Now, female genital mutilation is harmful, dangerous, illegal all over the world. It's very prominent in the Muslim world and Muslim communities in Africa. You can see it takes place a lot. We've been fighting against female genital mutilation for years, and now the transgender movement is bringing it back. Just when the world had agreed, it's illegal, it's wrong, it's harmful, it's unacceptable. And so female genital mutilation, which was quite common in Muslim countries and has been campaigned against now for decades, has now come back under gender-affirming care. And so the facts can eat up the fiction very quickly. No men and women's locker rooms. Keep girls safe. Keep us safe. Keep me safe. Good posters. And here's remembering a time when women's rights activists marched for equality under the law, not to be denied or abridged in the United States. And here you can see what marching in Washington, D.C., close to the Capitol. And right now they've got a transgender president who's trampling on all these women's rights that were built up over years. So it is gendercide, and one should stand up and oppose, just like we should stand up against sex selection, abortions, or femicide. It is gendercide.